Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Yeah, I have almost 100,000 followers now on this TikTok account. It's my name, Catherine, and then Anja. I talk about cord blood banking, my brother, just my story. I also make quite a bit of content just generally related to pregnancy because I was getting a lot of questions related to pregnancy as I was posting cord blood banking content. So it made me realize that I think a lot of people feel quite lonely during the pregnancy journey. And I think many people don't feel like there are a ton of credible resources that they can turn to. Would love to get your take on that.
I agree. I think, you know, being pregnant, my first two daughters are 15 and 16. So it was a huge gap between my third child and my second child. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I know this, I've got this, you know, this is my third kid. I don't need to get educated on anything or whatever. But then I found myself going through a whole different experience where I started seeking for help. I started seeking for advice for certain things. And maybe because I'm in my early 40s, having a third child, obviously that has an impact on my body differently versus when I was in my late 20s. But, I found that a lot of the stuff out there is so outdated.
Yeah.
Even the apps that I was using to, there was this one app that it actually, what to expect when you're expecting. It's a book. And then they decided to start an app, but even the app, the videos were just so outdated where I was just like, oh my God, you guys are like 4 or 5 years behind. Like I could tell from the video, and it really upset me. You know, it upset me because I'm like, God, people are having babies like every day, probably like thousands of kids are being born. How is the tech industry not into this industry, like, you know, disrupting this industry?
Yeah.
And myself on a marketing agency, and I deal with tech startups, disruptive tech startups, and I help them scale and acquire customers. And just from my client base and the people, the startups that we talk to, I hardly come across startups that are in this industry. So when I learned about you, I was so excited. I'm like, thank God there's something out there. Now, so one question I have for you, have you thought about adding some kind of an educational component to your business model?
Yeah.
So that could be the driving force to your brand, and it will create that awareness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, even with my TikTok, it's already quite educationally focused. I think especially because cord blood banking is such a new thing for a lot of people, like the most common story I hear is yours, which is that they just don't hear about it. And so, yeah, I think it's because historically only the top 1% has been targeted for this product. So I really try to just push education on all fronts, and I get a lot of questions and DMs. Sometimes people have even sent me like their lab reports that they get during their doctor's appointments. Obviously I'm not qualified to interpret those. But the fact that people have turned to me as a resource has shown me just how many like actual credible resources are lacking. Or I've been making this series where I do like week by week videos. And I just talk about like what you should expect during that time. And it's just solely based on research that I've done, from like credible medical institutions and things like that. And then personal blogs. So I always cite that some of it is anecdotal evidence. But even so, I've gotten comments like, oh, this is better than the apps, because I think they just feel like it's like a real person, giving them real advice, sort of like an auntie figure, is what I'm trying to be on TikTok. So yeah, it's definitely very interesting.
I love it. I love that you're utilizing TikTok to reach these people, you know, whatever it takes. And in a sense, I feel like it's so similar to my CBD brand, because, you know, with CBD, there's just, well, actually it's not the same because you don't have as much competition as I do. But then the problem is that people need education. Mm-hmm. Just like people need to be educated, because especially the baby boomers who need CBD the most and could use it the most tend to think it's marijuana, and we have to educate them and go through the whole process of, this is not marijuana, it's hemp, and it's hemp derived, it has no THC, and so on. And I found myself that education has to be one of the pillars in our business model. If it's not, we can't sustain. And through education, through webinars, through workshops, some were in person, some were online, some were hybrid, we were able to start educating people for free. Just we brought on doctors and different types of experts to these workshops to help people. The one topic that we did was anxiety. Hello, relief, goodbye, anxiety. And it was right around the time when we were opening up in Los Angeles. And so we decided to do these workshops. And we actually ended up getting a really great media coverage on Fox 11 News because it was our way to give back to our community, help them ease back into the society. And also we were giving out free products and so on. So have you dabbled into anything like that where you're holding webinars or some kind of
Definitely. Especially for birth workers and things like that. Because I think even like some providers don't feel like they're fully equipped with knowledge on cord blood banking. We've definitely hosted things of that nature, even like IG Live, stuff like that. I think modern brands just have to be built with that kind of approach in mind, because I think there's this like anti-capitalist push that's happening where people are really averse to like the larger institutions. And especially in healthcare, it's just like cultivating the sense of distrust. So even like yesterday, a mom called me asking a bunch of questions about cord blood banking because she was about to go into a doctor's appointment. And she said that she just didn't want her doctor to think she was stupid. Which I think is really unfortunate that she feels like she has to uphold this certain image for her physician that's supposed to be just caring for her at her core, because it's supposed to be a humanist business. I think now people are trying to really push for brands that have a lot of authenticity and a narrative behind them and things like that, so that they don't have to feel like, oh, I need to uphold a certain image in order to interact with this brand.
I agree. And I think, you know, sometimes it's kind of sad to say this, but sometimes when I speak to doctors, and whether it's, you know, whether it was regarding my pregnancy or just simply CBD, for example, because I have really bad migraines, hemiplegic migraines. And I remember asking my neurologist, you know, about CBD, and he was like, yeah, well, I have patients who have taken it and it has helped them, but there's always the buts, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember bringing up research that was in phase 3 and 4, proving that it could potentially help with ABC. And then I brought it up to his intention, and he was just like, yeah, you know, I you could try it. And it's almost like, I feel like a lot of times they're just so comfortable with what they've been trained, and for them to take on and learn about the new up and coming things that are helping is extra work. And it upsets me sometimes, because they're the doctors that we lean on them so heavily for our health, you know, and it's kind of sad that it's shifting. But at the same time, I love that it's shifting, because it gives the opportunity for people like you and me to bring up something that has worked for us or is something that is so important and shine a light on it. So in a sense, I'm like, okay, you guys just continue being that way, you know, be very 10 years behind with innovation, and we'll just start seeking out our own information. But I wish there could be a medium where it could just all be connected, and they could just start looking at these disruptive companies like Anja Help and be able to share that with their, you know, with their patients. It upsets me that none of that is being discussed. I mean, my doctor, my OBGYN, didn't even discuss with me anything about the blood cord banking, nothing. And then I remember giving birth, and they're like, what are you going to do with this? And then they had a bunch of paperwork, and I'm literally exhausted from giving birth. And I'm like, I just remember going like this, and they just took it away.
Yeah.
And then I asked my husband, I said, what happened? I didn't even get a chance to think. No one came to talk to me about it. And so I'm happy that you're creating this sort of this educational piece to it, where you're informing people way before they go into the hospital, or if they're having it at home, wherever, but they're being educated and they're planning ahead.
Right.
Now, in terms of women that are planning to, you know, potentially take advantage of your services, What's the suggestion? Where could they go? How can they reach you?
Yeah, they can reach us at anjahealth.com. So anjahealth.com. Yeah. And so we have a lot of resources on there. On every page, there's some content that you can see. We try to be content first, and things like that. So there's even videos of me on the site, just walking through the product, videos that our clients have made previously walking through the product. So yeah, we try to make sure people can feel like they're super informed. Cause I think when it comes to cord blood banking, a lot of people feel really overwhelmed and, they'll give it to like their partner or something to research and it turns into this whole operation. So, yeah, we try to make sure that it's digestible in bite-sized amounts, and that they can feel really properly informed by the time it's they want to make a decision.
How else can we support you? If any of the listeners are, let's say, influencers, can they, and they're actually about to give birth, I feel like that would be a good partnership where they could just start promoting and creating.
Yeah. Opportunities.
But how else can the listeners support you? Where need help with?
I mean, just share a prospect of cord blood banking with anyone you know that's pregnant. And then, you could also find us, on TikTok. Our TikTok handle is Anja Health. And then our Instagram is anja.health. And my personal TikTok is Catherine Anja. We're on all sorts of platforms, Twitter too. So yeah, anywhere that you would want to find us, you probably could.
Awesome. We do have a few more minutes, so I'm going to take advantage and ask a few more questions because you seem so young and it's so inspiring to see a young woman, taking on such a challenging, idea and actually creating it, like you productized it, right? Like you took an idea and something that you personally went through because of your brother and you made it so possible. What advice do you have for the listeners who have an idea and they're either in school or they have a full-time job and they're debating if the idea is a good enough idea for them to pursue?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, my advice is to go into tech, because I think regardless of whatever industry you wanted to do, I guess, unless it's like clinical research or being a physician. But even then, I think there's still overlap with a lot of tech. So I would suggest at least like having a touch in dipping your toe into tech, because I think it's really, the future. And I think in college, like I worked at big banks and stuff like that. And I just saw the worldview. My worldview just had limits, but I feel like as soon as I was exposed to tech and just the whole entrepreneurial space, I didn't see the world with limits anymore, which I feel like sounds cheesy, but but I think especially for women and especially for anyone who's part of a marginalized group, that's really important. Because I think they're just not exposed to it. Like I didn't know what venture capital was throughout college. And it wasn't until I found out about Launch House on Twitter and moved into Launch House that, that I was really exposed to what venture is and what founders do. And even down to like what Chrome extensions could optimize your day-to-day. And so I think, it was just really, really a lacking experience, because I think Wellesley is just so focused towards women and there's obviously not a lot of women in tech. So I was just never exposed to it. So I wish that more people who don't attend target schools, tried to dip their toe into tech to at least some degree.
Can I ask what did you major in college?
I studied media arts and sciences and economics. So it was a mix of computer science and art, for the media arts and sciences portion. And then I did economics as well to try and get a foothold into business. And Wellesley students can cross register at MIT. So I took classes at MIT every semester, but even so, I didn't feel like properly exposed to the startup scene. And I didn't know that you could just like have an idea and go to VCs and try to raise money and build out your idea. So I really thought the only option was to basically be a cog in a corporate machine.
I love it. Thank you. It's so encouraging. And I find myself always encouraging women especially to start their own business. And that's part of the reason why I started the radio show and the podcast show, to inspire others, but also give them actionable steps to take so that they could actually make it happen. I remember when I got out of grad school and someone asked me and said, what do you want to be? And I said, I want to be an entrepreneur. And they were like, oh, so you're going to be jobless. And I was just like,
oh my gosh,
no, I'm going to create jobs, you know, and I love, and that was 20 years ago. And I love how the mindset has changed now, you know, thanks to the tech industry, things have changed because it's the younger generation that's thinking, they're coming up with disruptive ideas and they're using technology to make it happen. And they're cutting out the middle guys, saving people tons of money. I just love this entire disruption that the tech industry is creating. And I love, and that's why my marketing agency solely focuses on tech startups, because I'm like, we need to inspire more people to become entrepreneurs and really make things efficient. There's just a lot of inefficiencies in a lot of things. Like, why do we need a middle guy? You know, like if somebody's designing clothes, why do we need a middle wholesaler to take a chunk of that and then up the prices and then sell it to the retail store? Just do direct to consumer, save the consumer a lot of money, and then we will all be happy and efficient, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. And in terms of being an entrepreneur, you know, it took me a while to understand the importance of mentors. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you have a mentor? What was your
journey? Oh, yeah, no, many. I mean, I think, yeah, because of Launch House, that really exposed me to quite a few mentors. So I think finding like those communities that are fully dedicated to whatever industry you want to work on is really important, because I think in those communities is where you find mentors. I think in college, like I would cold message people on LinkedIn all the time if I thought their career sounded cool, but then it would just turn into like a couple of random calls here and there, and it felt almost transactional. So I feel like it's best to find mentors within communities or within jobs that you're working at. So yeah, in college, I had a mentor that I met who was a Wellesley alum as well. And she was just working very closely with my manager. So So I think that's where you can find it. But yeah, I mean, especially if you're a female who's an entrepreneur or a woman, that can be basically anyone that's not like a cis white man. You should try and find someone in your demographic as well, because I think that can be really important. So for instance, one of my roommates from Launch House, she's actually younger than I am, but she has been in the startup scene for longer. And I was telling her, I just wish that I had a mentor that I could turn to like once a week or so. But then she was like, oh, well, if you really want to, I can hop on a call with you every week. So we set up like a calendar invite, and then we started FaceTiming every week. And I would just, we call it like our founder therapy. And so, yeah, I would just tell her about different things that I'm struggling with. And I think that helped me a lot. So yeah, shout out to Kat, the founder of Flyby.
I love that. We need to bring her on the show. And I think it also holds you accountable, right? Because as CEOs, as founders of our companies, it's really hard to, we don't have a boss at the end of the day, you know, and it's hard to stay focused because we're managing so many different parts. It's a moving, you know, a moving thing, constantly moving, and things are popping. And so I love that. I love that you guys have that ongoing calls. What other advice would you give to the listeners who are at the stage that where they are looking for funding?
I think the best thing would be, it's sort of like stereotypical YC advice. Like I remember I was, before I got in, I was cold emailing a couple of partners, and they basically didn't answer any of my questions related to like how to get in or like whatever, but they would just reply and be like, launch smiley face, get customer. Smiley face was literally one of the emails.
Start selling.
Yeah. And so, but I honestly think that is the best advice. Like you don't need to get into YC or whatever to be successful. You just need to, like launch, get customers. And just to make sure that your product is making customers happy. So yeah, one of the YC sayings is make something people want. So I think you just need to keep on trying to make your vision into something that people want.
And my last question is, how important do you think is it for a company to have a face, like beautiful face like yours?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it helps. That's why I'm so forward with my presence on TikTok and how it's affiliated to my business. Because I think people resonate with my personal story and they feel like there's someone that they can, really rely on and someone who's accountable for the company's actions. So I think, I think like just thinking about other companies with a face, like I feel like it was important that when people felt distrust towards Facebook, that they saw like Mark Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill, like giving testimonials. And so, yeah, because there's that sense of accountability and transparency, whereas with companies like Goldman Sachs, like if something bad happens, like David Solomon is sort of well known, but I mean, he's just not really like the face of the brand. And so it just becomes this like far off institution and it's hard to really connect with what they're doing and it's hard to hold accountability to them. So yeah, I think people are biasing towards companies with a face.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I wish I had you longer. I have so many questions I want to ask, but that should be for our next time.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.